Blog Talk Radio.
And as I'm interrupted by the voice that says Blog Talk Radio, welcome back to another Pistons Nation podcast. I'm Aaron Johnson. Joining me today is Chris Platty. Said that right. Finally, I got it down. But Pistons Nation's back for another podcast. We're trying to get these out as much as possible, and we got some great stuff to talk about today. But first off, Chris, how are you today, my man?
I'm doing good, and I'm glad you finally got it right.
All right, well, let's get right into it. Just this past week, Andre Drummond did play, but Ben Wallace had his jersey retired against the Golden State Warriors. Ben Wallace's number 3 went up in the rafters at the Palace of Auburn Hills as the Pistons faced off against the Golden State Warriors. Chris, tell me what it was like and how much Ben really did deserve to have his jersey put up with some of the greats.
Well, first off, he definitely deserved it. There's no question about it. It's crazy to think how he went from undrafted to a 4-time Defensive Player of the Year, NBA champion, and anchor of one of the dynasties of the 2000s. So it's really surreal. It was surreal, the atmosphere to be there, too, because I really didn't know what to expect going there. I just expected, Ben Wallace to be there and maybe some of the starters. But it was everyone was there. Larry Brown, even the training staff, all the assistant coaches from 2004, the bench players, Mike James, Lindsey Hunter. I believe Darvin Ham was there too as well. Mehmet Okur. I mean, everyone was there. And it was just kind of surreal to see them all together because that was the team that got me into basketball. When I was 8 years old, I didn't know what basketball was until I started watching Pistons, and I started watching them in the playoffs, and that team was the team that got me into basketball. So it was kind of surreal for me to see them all back together and celebrating, like I said, the anchor of just a dynasty, really.
Yeah, it was definitely a special moment in the Pistons' history as a franchise. You had so many of the former players that were teammates of Ben Wallace at the game. And then the Pistons got the job done against the Golden State Warriors in blowout fashion. They handed Golden State only their 4th loss of the season. It was a great game. Chris, what were some of your biggest takeaways from the night?
Well, I fully came into the game expecting to lose by 20, not win by nearly 20. And I was looking around at some stats afterwards because I thought, wow, the Pistons probably just gave Golden State their biggest loss of the year. And actually, Dallas beat them by 20 as opposed to the Pistons, who beat them by 18. But the Dallas game, if you remember, Curry didn't play. And I believe Barnes was still out at that time or maybe just returning. So this is Golden State's really first loss fully healthy, because when they lost a week ago to the Nuggets, Draymond Green was out. So the Pistons are the first team to beat the Warriors fully healthy, which is something that obviously nobody else can say as of right now. And it was a great game. I mean, the Pistons played great defensively. I thought that was really the key. Drummond, Baines played well, which we'll talk about him later. Stanley Johnson played well on defense. KCP, again, did an amazing job guarding Curry. And I'm starting to think that he is as close to a sturdy Curry stopper as possible. Even though Curry dropped 38, he didn't get many easy looks that night. And KCP did a great job of keeping him out of rhythm. And offensively, everything just seemed to click. It was crazy. And I think a lot of it was the energy of the Ben Wallace jersey retirement that kind of fueled it. So it was just nice to see everything goes so right. It's definitely the most impressive win of the year to me. I'd even rank it over the 4th overtime win against the Chicago Bulls.
And to give some of the stats, both Reggie Jackson and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope combined, they both had 20 points, combining for 40. Andre Drummond had 14 points, 21 rebounds, and he was great. Him and Draymond Green started talking to each other a little bit. And then Andre Drummond went off on Green, went on defense and on offense. He stuffed Green. He hit what looked to be like an 18-foot hook shot, 18-foot hook shot over Draymond Green. And the Pistons just never let up. It wasn't until, though, one Curry was taken out along with a few of the other starters that I could relax and say, oh, the Pistons got this one. Because I always thought the Warriors were going to make that comeback.
Yeah, you kind of had that feeling all along because they're so good. And you've seen them down so many times against the Clippers. They were down, what was that, earlier in the season? That was 20, maybe even as close to 30 points, and they came back. So, I mean, they've always been a team that just can, no matter what, pull out a win because they're so good. So, I mean, I was there, and I was never really relaxed. I was always like, okay, Curry could make a three, and then all of a sudden that could turn into three more. Then Clay gets going. And so they're a team that you really can never, ever let up on. So it was great that the Pistons didn't. They played with that effort. And I thought there was never a point in the game when they took their foot off the gas. I believe they were applying it the entire time. Even when in the third and fourth quarters they had droughts where they couldn't score, the effort was still there. So it was good to see that effort, and I think that was really the key, because when the Pistons weren't getting buckets on offense, they were getting stops on defense, and like I said, that level of intensity and effort was there. And I think that's why the Pistons pulled out the win.
Definitely one of the best wins for the Pistons this season, if not the best. But I want to talk about a player that was crucial to that game. Aaron Baines, backup center, who, including from myself, has gotten a lot of dislike and unpleasureness from a lot of Pistons and supporters. But in the Golden State game, he had 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 blocks in 9 minutes on 6 of 6 shooting. He had quite the night.
Yeah, he did. He played really well. He came in for Drummond, I want to say late first quarter, early second. And he had a stretch where he was the one controlling that game. Him and Jennings were playing great together. Baines was knocking down mid-range jumpers, getting some offensive rebounds and putbacks for points. And he's special. I know he's gotten a lot of criticism from Detroit fans because of the numbers that he's making. I mean, $8 million is a lot to pay for a backup to your franchise, centerpiece. But with the rising cap, and as well as just the fact that injuries can happen, I think Baines was a good pickup, and he's played well. And I've been less hard on him than most other people. But yeah, there's still been times when people have given him, and myself included, given him grief. But I think so far he's definitely lived up to his contract, and I think he'll only continue to do that as he gets more comfortable with the system.
Yeah, and it's taken time for Baines to really get comfortable on the Pistons, I think. He's averaged just a bit over 4 points his first 2 months with the team, or first 3 months, but he's come to life. In January, he's averaging 8.6 points per game. That's nearly 9 points per game, and 5.6 rebounds per game, along with a block and an assist. He has really become a steady player for the Pistons off the bench, and I know a lot of it is due to the return of Brandon Jennings. Jennings just makes that whole second unit look so much more competent out there.
Yeah, I think so too, and that's what I was saying in earlier podcasts that we were talking about when we were anticipating Jennings' returns. Is one of the things I said is you're going to see a huge improvement from the second unit just because Brandon Jennings is that good of a playmaker. He makes guys that much better, as well as his own scoring punch. So the bench is really starting to become a strength. And I think that even that when you flaunt those numbers that Aaron Baines put up, and yeah, they're good for a backup, but keep two things in mind is, one, Baines is a backup to our best player, Andre Drummond, so he's getting probably the least amount of minutes of the entire bench, or that plays in terms of rotation, or maybe one at the bottom in minutes averaged, as well as the fact that he just, when he's out there, if you're watching him play, he doesn't do many things wrong. He'll play right, he'll play in his lane, but he might not get the stats, but he might set the screen that leads to score. And he does all those little things. So I think that's what makes him really valuable. And if you don't watch the Pistons, it makes it really hard to understand why he's being paid what he is. But that's why he brings a lot of intangibles to the table, which I like.
Definitely starting to look like a great pickup by Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons. But the Pistons are in some trouble right now. Andre Drummond, everyone's been lobbying for him to get the starting spot in the 2016 All-Star Game, and Carmelo Anthony took his spot in a recent voting stats that were released after Drummond had led. After the first totals were brought in, Carmelo Anthony, when the stats were released, was up, I believe, around 7,000 votes. But the Pistons have been doing their best to market Drummond, and I think their marketing team has done an amazing job. They've got some support from Eminem, the rapper, who he got nearly, I believe, 11,000 retweets on the one tweet saying, "Yo, retweet this to vote for my man Andre Drummond in the 2016 All-Star Game." That's gotten 11,000 retweets. So the support is there for Drummond, but tonight, the final night for voting, something has to change because he will not get in unless the support rises. 11:59 on Monday night, tonight, All-Star voting. So throughout the rest of this day and through the night, we must continue to vote for Andre Drummond.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention some quick ways I think that will help with the voting. Yeah, one, don't stop voting, obviously. We want to get him in. It's been a long time since the Pistons had a starter in the All-Star game. The last time was AI, and we all know he didn't really deserve to start that game. So really, if you think about it, the last time we had starters in the All-Star game was the Chauncey, Rip, Ben, the L4 dynasty days. So it's been a while. So in terms of getting Andre Drummond votes, one thing I've started to do is I started to tweet, you know, at celebrities and stuff like that, local celebrities, people that you can normally engage with on Twitter. Like, there's a few people, some C-list, D-list celebrities that I can occasionally talk to just out of relationships that I've formed with them. So, you know, just kind of use those celebrities if you can to get votes and just keep voting. And, yeah, I do want to mention that the Pistons did a great job with the marketing, first with the Jumpman video and then now with the Forgot About Dre. I mean, those were classic and comical video. So even if Drummond doesn't get it, hats off to the Pistons marketing team. They've done a great job with that.
Yeah, and it's hard to beat out a big-name franchise name like Carmelo Anthony, who obviously has the support of New York, and he's just been the common one of the market names for the NBA since his name arrived. But Andre Drummond, obviously, he deserves to be the starter over Carmelo Anthony. Every number besides assists shows that, but it's going to be tough for him to get in. Don't forget to stop voting. Hashtag NBA vote on Twitter. Then you can type in his name, Andre Drummond, or tag his name at Andre Drummond with an extra D at the end. You can do it on Instagram as well, but you can't just comment on a post. You have to post a picture with the caption, hashtag NBA vote Andre Drummond, or of course, you could tag its Instagram handle. You can also text a certain number to vote for him. You can go on nba.com/vote to vote for Andre Drummond. Continue voting, folks. Getting Andre Drummond into the All-Star game for the Pistons, the city of Detroit, and the Pistons fan base. So don't stop voting.
Yes, and one more thing before we head out, I just want to say in terms of the voting is also in terms of voting, it's better to probably tag Drummond because Drummond himself has been known to retweet a lot of them, and because of his celebrity, that'll get more votes. And so again, like I said, use Twitter famous people if you can to try and get them to throw their support to Andre Drummond.
And Chris, I want to talk with you about one more thing today. Pistons Bulls 3:30, big game for the Pistons. After coming off a win against the Warriors, the Bulls a little shorthanded. They won't have Kirk Heinrich. They won't have Joakim Noah. They won't have Mike Dunleavy. But they're still going to have Pau Gasol, Jimmy Butler, and Derrick Rose. So a big game for the Pistons. What are they going to have to do to come away with the win?
Well, I think Andre's going to have to do his normal thing, which is controlling the paint and staying out of foul trouble. He still has, because he's so young, he still has games where he gets into foul trouble. And I know we said that Baynes is good, and we just gloat about him earlier in the podcast. But, again, he's no Andre Drummond. So Drummond's got to stay out of foul trouble, and KCP's got to do a great job. I just feel bad for KCP. He has to guard Curry one night, and then 2 days later he has to guard Jimmy Butler. I feel so bad for the guy, but KCP's got to play great perimeter defense. And offensively, they just got to get KCP going, because when KCP, he's been wildly inconsistent this year, but when he plays well, the team is just so much better. Him and Morris have really struggled with consistency as of late, but when one or two of those guys are on, the team is just so much better in terms of scoring, because without one of them going off or even two of them, then the Pistons really struggle, and the weight of the offense falls on Reggie and Drummond, and sometimes they just don't have enough to carry the offensive load.
And Andre Drummond has had quite the season against the Chicago Bulls. He's averaging a 20-20 against them through two games of the season. The Pistons have won both those games. Of course, early in the season, it was a late-game thriller, and then it was that quadruple overtime. Amazing win by the Pistons. So today, 3:30 Eastern time, make sure you're watching Pistons, Bulls, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson versus Derrick Rose, Pau Gasol, and Jimmy Butler. It's going to be quite the game. Hopefully the Pistons can start a win streak now, carry the momentum in from Golden State, and then get the win against Chicago. But that's going to do it for us today as we prepare for the game. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I'm Aaron Johnson. Joining me today was Chris Rail. And let's go Pistons. Get the job done today.
Yes, let's do it, Pistons.